As we come to a new year, the subject is the baptism of Jesus. And we will dive into that, discuss that a little bit. But as we begin, I do invite you to join me in prayer. Loving God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, we are incredibly blessed in our lives with you, in our lives in this country. God, you have given us a true blessing of living not in some very tough situations that a lot of people on this earth are struggling with. And God, we didn't do anything to deserve it. But yet, here we are, and we thank you. We thank you for the ability to gather in freedom and not worry about being arrested or worse. God, we are here to commune with you. We look to you to guide each and every one of us through this message, that it's your message, your words, that we can hear what you have for us. And we praise you, and I just thank you for your absolute blessing. In Christ's name, amen. As we move into today is also the first Sunday of Epiphany. Epiphany is traditionally part of the time of the Magi coming with their gifts for Jesus. The nativity scenes got it a little bit pushed together, which I can understand. It's kind of hard to string that out, but that's part of today. But here we are, the first Sunday of 2024. 2023 is over, and many people go, boy, am I glad of that. We can't go back, and we can't change anything. What's done is done. What was said is said. You can't go back and even take those words back. They're gone. It's all in the past. The old year is dead and buried, never to return. We will never see another 2023 in this world. Today's baptism is the subject, and we confess that our old lives were buried at baptism and that we have been raised to new life with Christ. And as you listen to the introduction today, there's much to be said of where we are today. We're going to take a look at baptism of Jesus. Think about this. Jesus didn't have a past that he needed to leave behind. And as each one of us, I feel pretty confident, as you were contemplating baptism, you were looking back and saying, I don't want that to be a part of my world. I don't need the baggage. We had reasons. Jesus didn't have a past. He had no sin to repent of. The only human that can say that. What significance does the baptism of Jesus have for our lives? We're going to pick this up again in the readings from Mark 1 and verse 4. John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, that means something to us, but in that time period, for the people that were living, they could totally understand some of the imagery. And Mark's gospel is full of imagery. Baptizing in the wilderness. The Old Testament prophets basically lived in wilderness situations. They came out of that to serve their role as a prophet for the people of Israel at that time. So we think of things as we view it here, 2024, USA, America. This is a whole different world of understanding for them. And it talked about the people came from Judea and Jerusalem. And it actually says all. Well, all that came were from that region. We can say that. But here's the interesting part. Where John was baptizing was along the Jordan River. And in this particular area, it was right at a wilderness area. And when I talk about wilderness, has anybody been to the Badlands in South Dakota or Death Valley in California? Throw in some really scrub trees and lots of rocks. And this is what this wilderness looked like. It truly is a wilderness. And it wasn't fun to travel through. Think about the people. They wore sandals. Doubt they had leather boots. From Jerusalem to this region was 20 miles that they would have walked. It's also a 4,000 foot elevation drop from Jerusalem to this area along the Jordan, adjacent to the wilderness. This would not have been an easy journey. They had to have a pretty resolved approach that I'm going to John, to the baptism. To go to that much effort, to walk in that environment. And you got to realize they had to walk back uphill 4,000 feet. And that 20 miles. So there was a tremendous amount of investment. And here's John, away from everything, baptizing people. And they came. Now, John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And we've all heard and read many takeaways of that. But again, this was kind of clothing of a prophet. They didn't have fancy suits. They wore pretty rugged clothes that they could put together. From Isaiah 20 and verse 2 describes a little bit of the prophets. Isaiah 40, they were there to prepare the way of the Lord. And the food that they ate came right out of the wilderness. Locusts and wild honey was available. They didn't have other options to eat. So they pretty much took what was given to them. The people also understood the symbolism, the wilderness. The prophets came from the wilderness to prophesy or to work with the people. Here's John in the wilderness. Being baptized in the Jordan River had also a great significance. What river do you think the children of Israel left Egypt? What river do you think they went through? It was the Jordan. So they understood the significance of John baptizing in that area. Their ancestors, the people that came, their ancestors entered the promised land by going through the Jordan River. Coming up out of the waters is where they found liberation. So they were seeking something to make that trek, to make that distance of Jerusalem and the area of Judea to that part of the world and to be baptized. It is at our lowest that we realize that sin has taken us to a place of desolation and into the wilderness. Think back, and for many that may be decades, but what was the point that triggered or that you responded to being baptized? Did you have a lot of baggage that you really didn't want, that you needed to offload, that you wanted to cast that away? It is here where we find the living water, Jesus Christ, who takes our sins upon himself and brings us up in true and lasting liberation. This is the point of the baptism that we have gone through. Take time to look back and see how far along the Lord has taken you. You know, we've looked just from the move to Derby to today. 7 years, 6.5 years, somewhere in that realm. What has happened? There's a lot of change. I ran into a picture this week. It was taken in Youth Horizons building. And I thought, wow. And there were some people there that I didn't recognize. There were other people that, yeah, we look a little different now. But we have made changes. Have we done that, or is God working with us and we are participating with Him? I think that's more of it as we look back and think about. To appreciate this new life, this liberation God has gifted us with, look back and see where you were to where you are today. I dare say most of us, if not all of us, will see a huge difference. We should have a sense of gratitude for all God has accomplished in our lives through Christ, and remember and appreciate the ways we are now walking in freedom with. You know, just something so simple as we walked in today and the heat was already on. The chairs were already set. There were some minor things that had to happen, but there wasn't a huge investment in prepping for services. I wonder if that is true of us inside. Are we prepared as we come in today, better today than we were a year ago or 10 years ago? That gratitude for what Jesus is doing in our life. Verse 7, and he preached, saying, after me comes he who is mightier than I. This is John talking about the Messiah, the coming Messiah. He comes who is mightier than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That's what people were coming for. Coming to be baptized, to be connected to what John was talking about in his repentance. But John, he kind of lays it, you know, right at their feet and goes, I'm not even good enough to undo his sandals. This is how much this person is. The people, no doubt, were not just going out to repent and be baptized, but to also anticipate the imminent appearance of the Messiah. That in itself explains to me why people would trek 20 miles in those harsh conditions. And I, honestly, with my feet, I think of the sandal walk, and it would not be pleasant. But if I could see the Messiah, oh, there's nothing that we wouldn't do. My feet will feel better later. This is more important. I mean, that's the kind of thing. They were looking at what the potential there. John baptized them with water. The Messiah will baptize them with the very Spirit of God. And I'm sure that was something they weren't fully aware of, but they were learning. Without divine intervention, we are doomed to live in a life trapped in the desert, in a wilderness, in a world that we find ourselves that is broken, filled with broken people, including the one you look at in the mirror. Without God's intervention, we have no hope. Sure, we can live out our lives in this world, but what kind of a life would it be? We would have no hope. Verse 9, in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As I mentioned, I think it was last week, that's about a 90-mile walk from Nazareth to where John was baptizing. Think of John. This is his relative. He knows who he is. He knows he is the Messiah. and he said, I want to be baptized, how would you feel? Was that something you would readily step in and say, yes, Jesus, I would do that for you? John willingly did it, but it was one of those, I'm not good enough. I'm not the one that should do this. Which one of us is good enough? That's the big question. None of us. But when God puts a call, we need to respond. And when he came up out of the water, Jesus immediately saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. Interesting part about this, the baptism of Jesus is the first occurrence where we see each member of the Trinity explicitly represented in the Bible. We see the Son, Jesus, submitting to the Father in baptism by faith. We witness the Spirit descending upon Jesus and the Father expressing words of affection and approval over the Son. All three wrapped up into this monumental event. Through Christ, humanity has been taken through the waters of baptism. Jesus repented on our behalf. He didn't have to for him. Not on his, as he had nothing to repent of. Remember, his baptism was for our behalf. Though he was sinless, he was the only one who could offer a perfect repentance. His submission to the Father was for our sakes, and he was already submitting to God perfectly on behalf by faith, on our behalf. All of the events of this 2,000 plus years ago, of people traveling in these harsh conditions through a horrible region of the world, to experience this event. And it was for them as well as us. We don't have to make that long trek, but we do have to look past our old sins to get rid of. We don't want to live in that world. And Jesus made us a way of escape. Through Jesus, we have left behind all the years of needless wandering in the wilderness of sin. And guess what? It comes back every single day. Because none of us can live a single day without having some form of sin. But we don't have to let it take us down. We have Jesus who has interceded on our behalf. Through his baptism, we have a future. We have been immersed in his life and death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. Jesus is our promised land. Like the Jews of old, we have passed over and a new life has begun. We look and say, this is a new year. But our life is renewed daily. Jesus is both our promised land and living water. That's our future, and it's there because of him. We are free in him. Jesus was baptized to bring us into the fellowship of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The magnitude of that is hard to really grasp. Especially when I can look in my life and know, ooh, there was a lot of oops. But Jesus took care of the oops. He took care of me and you to bring us into the fellowship with the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. We are free in Jesus. When you look in the mirror, Do you see someone that is free, that hasn't got terrible burdens and baggage? Let Jesus lead you and show you. We come now to the communion service. And I'm going to read Mark 14, 22 through 24. You've heard this before. What I realized in talking with some friends, the communion story is the communion story, and it always will be, and it doesn't change. So when we read scriptures that we've heard a lot, they're still there. They're still important. They are still of value. We can't put a new spin on communion because it's not a spin. It is the reality that we have been blessed with through Jesus. Verse 22 of Mark 14. And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank it, and drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." I try and visualize what that looked like in the upper room. This group of men that didn't always get along, that tended to think more highly of one or two or themselves than the others, that was always vying for position, that were looking down across the table at one another. And here's Jesus, having just washed their feet, having watched the discourse with Peter, and they're still sitting and thinking, and this change of how this is portrayed. And I also thought of Jesus. He knew that everyone would deny him. Everyone of the table that he was serving this meal to, within 24 hours, would deny him. Maybe not as dramatic as Peter, but nonetheless, they all left, and he did it anyway. So as we look at this opportunity, this meal that is prepared for us, Jesus did it for us, knowing who we are, knowing the mistakes we'll make, and he loves us. And his body broken and his blood shed is just as vital and just as important today as it was then. Father God, thank you for our lives. Our lives involved and invested in connected to you because of the sacrifice of Jesus, of the Holy Spirit that moves in us, that draws us to you, that takes our thoughts, our moanings and groanings, and puts those in terms that you understand, because we can't articulate it. God, as we look at this communion meal, thank you for the blessing of Jesus. I do ask that you would bless this bread, the fruit of the vine, that you would be with each one of us as we partake and ingest Jesus into our lives. God, what a gift this is, and we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's pray together. Father, we close our service in prayer to you. Thank you that we can come together to worship you. Thank you for the fellowship with everyone attending, and thank you for the message. May all of these things bolster our love for you. You are our rock. You are the source of all that is good. Jesus is the source of taking our sins from us so that we can become close to you. Be with us as we leave today. Holy Spirit, guide us through this week. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'll close with Romans 11, verses 33 and 36. Oh, the depths of the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways! For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Have a great week.